Welcome to another edition of I'm a Public Health Professional, Get Me Out of Here. This week we've decided to have a look down the high street. Yes, as regular listeners will know, we've always had our reservations about our favourite government quango, the Food Standards Agency, and their much heralded food hygiene rating scheme. In the last edition, we poked a little fun at their make sure you check the rating before you book that romantic dinner for Valentine's Day campaign. But for 8 years since the scheme came into operation, the FSA have refused to make the display of ratings compulsory in England, despite the fact that traders are forced to show their scores on the doors in Wales. The situation this side of the Severn Bridge was partially created by Rutland County Council, who in a display of power to the people, cult 70s TV hero Wolfie Smith, if you're too young, just look it up on YouTube, would have been proud of, they decided they didn't want to adopt the national system, but they wanted to use one of their own. The move obviously spooked the FSA, who instead of doing the sensible thing and going ahead with compulsory display anyway, always said they would only introduce the measure when everyone came on board. Which, incidentally, despite Rutland finally hoisting the white flag of surrender, they failed to do. So still premises with a zero rating, which in the old days would have equated to a quick trip down the magistrates' court, don't have to tell you about it. One of the results of that is understandably we all choose other ways to gauge where we spend our hard-earned cash on a meal out, with one of the most popular with 350 million monthly visitors across the world, yes, TripAdvisor. A quick straw poll amongst friends and relations has shown that none of them use the food hygiene ratings on the FSA website, but about 60% do look at TripAdvisor. So the question is, why is it taken up until now for someone in the media to put two and two together and compare the two systems? Step forward the Coventry Telegraph, who this week did just that, and you may or may not be amazed what they found. For example, the new Bengal Spice restaurant in the town received no stars from the AHOs, but what one customer on TripAdvisor saying it was the best curry they'd ever had. I know that was only Coventry, but I think you know what's coming. Not wishing to believe in any way I'm near as good as the late James Alexander Gordon, these are the classified food hygiene results. Sfizio's Restaurant in Ware, Hertfordshire, food hygiene rating 1, TripAdvisor 4.5. 1855 in Oxford, food hygiene rating 0, TripAdvisor 4.5. Zengs of Loughborough, food hygiene rating 0, TripAdvisor 4.5. I could go on, but you get the idea. There are, of course, some that match, but in a quick straw poll of 10 around the country with a zero food hygiene rating, I found one had closed. Well, we can assume we know why that was. One with a 3.5 TripAdvisor score and 8 with a TripAdvisor rating of 4 or more. Those included Manchester's Wong Wong Cafe, which one customer who visited last week said served the best roast meats in Manchester. It's clear then that while the FSA have been faffing around, the public have decided to look elsewhere for their information. Be interesting to know how many of those zero-star premises have their ratings on display. But I think we probably know the answer to that one, don't we? We're only in February and 2016 is already a record breaker, as January was confirmed as the warmest on record. It's not really surprising as the last 9 months have all set temperature records. What is concerning scientists this time though is the situation at the Arctic, where temperatures showed a 4 degree C increase on the average for the region measured between 1951 and 1980. Researchers say it's down to a phenomenon known as Arctic amplification, which has also led to a rapid decrease in the amount of sea ice at this time of year. According to the Chile-sounding National Snow and Ice Data Centre, the extent of sea ice was over 400,000 square miles below the average for the month of January. A cross-party group of 40 MPs and 150 prominent council leaders are calling for Sunday trading laws to be relaxed to boost jobs and help shops compete with online retailers. In an open letter to the Sunday Telegraph, the British Infrastructure Group, which includes London Mayor Boris Johnson along with former ministers Grant Shapps and Dan Poulter, said Sunday trading laws were last updated in 1994, so it is about time we have a change. With shops over 280 square metres only being allowed to open for 6 consecutive hours between 10 and 6 o'clock on Sundays, retailers can be fined up to £50,000 currently if they break the law. A new study has concluded that the economy would benefit by up to £1.4 billion if rules on what is the second busiest shopping day of the week were relaxed. Business Secretary Sajid Javid has announced that powers to extend trading hours would be included in the forthcoming enterprise bill. Any move to change the law, though, is likely to receive strong opposition from shop workers and religious leaders. Finally this week, we take the unusual step of turning to the Daily Mail. But only for a headline, I promise. Because this week it came up with air fresheners and scented candles are to blame for killer pollution at home. Which probably led to a few prominent scientists putting an imprint of their forehead in their workbench. The Mail's panic was prompted by a new report from the Royal College of Physicians and the Royal College of Paediatrics and Child Health. They estimated that as many as 99,000 deaths across Europe in 2012 were caused by exposure to indoor air pollution. Faulty gas appliances, radon and second-hand tobacco smoke are responsible for the great majority of that figure, but they were conveniently ignored by the headline writers, who instead concentrated on a few lines that admitted that some items, such as cleaning products, air fresheners and candles, can contribute. The report also looked at outdoor air pollution, concluding that previous figures for the UK that suggested it was responsible for up to 29,000 deaths a year were wide of the mark, with the figure of 40,000 likely to be more accurate. It's long been the case that while there are standards for external air quality, although quite how good we are at sticking to them is another question and probably another long, long podcast, but there's still no standard for indoor air quality. I can hear the phone ringing in an environmental health department minutes after the news broke. Environmental health, can I help you? Yes, it's about my toilet duck. Oh, see you in a couple of weeks. I'm a public health professional, get me out of here is written, presented and produced by Pete Hill. All comments made are purely personal and do not relate to any other body. This podcast is protected by a Creative Commons license. Any unauthorised reproduction for commercial gain is strictly prohibited.